Blog Talk Radio.
Doesn't matter what sanctioned body you look at, you always got to make sure you look and see if you can find killer bees in the list, because they'll all be floating toward the top. Man, it's Friday night. It's time to have a good time. We want to make a big shout out to everybody tonight that's out there competing. A whole lot of people done pulled their equipment out there on site down there in the FBA. We want to give everybody down at the FBA a great big old hell yeah. I know all the teams out there lining up. You know, you guys need to think about always doing Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction. This thing's going to get off the chain. We're just getting started, and we've already got a whole lot of support. And we want to make a big shout out to you guys. You need to get on board now. Get your contest lined up for the.
Let me get a big hell yeah from the redneck girls like me. Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! Dina L. Hillis and Jim Elsner and one other team all up in the top of the FBA. Standing up there in the standings. Now, folks, we're working on a little vodka and Dr. Pepper tonight, and got a little mango rum put in there in the corner. And, you know, Friday night's about kicking up your heels, having a good time, and blowing off steam from the week, you know. Know a lot of you out there got their corporate jobs. Good God, somebody probably tried to get you fired this week, or somebody did something to you. That's about the way it goes in the corporate jobs, and everybody's fighting to get to the top, and we're going to pour us one right quick. Now, folks, we are loading down our tailgate pages, that's NFL and College Division One. I had decided to go ahead and start an NBA tailgating section. And we will have 32 NBA teams lined up all down across there. And, you know, we need to start tailgating for NBA, too. You know, I'm sure it'll be not at the stadium, but at your house and in your backyard. But, man, you can have a hell of a tailgate for an NBA game, especially those 8 o'clock games. You get out there and get all your food cooked and everybody get to feeling good, eating good, and then put you about a 92-inch television up and watch LeBron James fly across the screen and dunk it big time. I tell you what, man, LeBron James and the Miami Heat, I think they're getting laid back on their laurels just a little bit and decided that, you know, because they are who they are, they're supposed to win the game. But LeBron had taken it in his own hands last night and win the game for them like he did the Cleveland Cavaliers. And did a good job. He's got a lot of good players, a lot of good help. But, you know, at some point, they're not going to give it to you. You do have to play and win the game. So now let's break out the red solo cups, y'all.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals, and you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, your Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable, and unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kissed my ass. Woo!
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now, I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Cause when beer runs down in front of my back, well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now I've seen you in blue and I've seen you in yellow, but only you, Red, will do for this fella, cause you are the Abbott into my Costello, and you are the fruit to my loom. Red Solo Cup, you're more than just plastic. You're more than amazing, you're more than fantastic. And believe me that I'm not the least bit sarcastic when I look at you and say, Red Solo Cup,
hell yeah.
You're not just a cup.
No, 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 no. God, no. You're my friend.
Lifelong.
Thank you for being my friend.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party.
Breaking it down, moving it around, don't set it back up. And I tell you what, BK Barbecue could win the KCBS and the FBA and the IBCA if he just competed every week in any one of them sanctioned bodies. Without a doubt, he's a great cook, great guy. And he did win champion, grand champion of Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction. Their very first one they had. And funny part was, he didn't cook for 20 minutes. We want to make a big shout out to old Newman Barbecue. What's up going on, Ricky Lee? Hell yeah, Ricky Lee. Ricky Lee Newman from Newman Barbecue. Like, hell yeah. Now, that man has been sponsored by Green Mountain Grills and GMG. And he'll sell you one. He got him to sell. And Ricky Lee is a bodybuilder, police officer, and overall kick-ass barbecue cook and a good guy. And he's got a great crew. One of his crew members helped Barn Goddess make her big win that week in Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction. You know, I'll tell you, Big Papa's Battle is really special for really one reason. You got four different cookers. You got us a Fast 8500, which is a great backyard cooker. And they got a Green Egg. You got a Meadow Creek, which I've fallen in love with Meadow Creek. I know y'all seen all the videos I've done on all those Meadow Creek major cooking videos. And then they got a Dutch oven. You know, Dutch oven, if it's 9 inches, you put 9 briquettes on top and 6 on the bottom. But if it's then for every increment up, you add 3. So I think that's right. I might have it backwards. Oh, hell. But anyway. Now, Dana says it on Big Papa's Battle every week, just about. I know the first couple shows you can see where he said it. Them Dutch ovens are great for anything, frying, cooking, baking, doesn't matter. And, you know, you just put you a few briquettes on there and light them, and that'll get you 350 degrees inside, is what I'm talking about. So you want to bake a cake of 350, put your 9 on the bottom and 6 on top. No, it's 3 more on top. It's 9 on top and 6 on the bottom. But for every inch, you go up 3. So if you got 10 inches, 12 and 9, 15 and 12, 18 and 15, and keep on going up. And so Big Papa's Battle Barbecue Junction, get a hold of Dana L. Hillis and get your competition lined up to do it. We'll broadcast it live. People will be able to watch it live stream. If you get Big Papa's Battle, we'll allow you to put it on your website and live stream it And then, of course, if you have it at your competition, then you can get 4 teams to sign up and go to battle. And there'll be all kinds of unknown ingredients that you'll get when you walk up in there to take it. And then, you know, be able to cook up cuisine, get you some judges, and just decide who won a big proper battle that week. And I tell you, we've had a whole lot of fun. Now, I don't know what kind of beer you got tonight, or Captain Morgan, Jack Daniels, a little bit of mango rum, or Smirnoff vodka. I don't know what you got tonight, but whatever you got, I want you to get ready to raise your hand up. Raise your glasses up when the drunken Scotsman gets to the end. Everybody toward the end of the song, raise your glass up.
Well, a Scotsman clad in kilt left the bar one evening fair, and one could tell by how he walked that he drunk more than his share. He fumbled round until he could no longer keep his feet, and he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. He stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. About that time, two young and lovely girls just happened by. One says to the other with a twinkle in her eye, "See yon sleeping Scotsman, so strong and handsome built. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt." Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. They crept up on that sleeping Scotsman quiet as could be, lifted up his kilt about an inch so they could see, and there behold for them to view beneath his Scottish skirt was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io, was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. They marveled for a moment, then one said, "We must be gone. Let's leave a present for our friend before we move along." As a gift they left a blue silk ribbon tied into a bow. Around the bonny star the Scots tilted lift and show. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. Around the bonny star the Scots tilted lift and show. Now the Scotsman woke to nature's call and stumbled towards a tree. Behind the bush he lifts his kilt and gawks at what he sees. And in a startled voice he says to what's before his eyes, "Oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize." Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. Oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize.
I tell you, man, those Irish and Scotsmen, guys over there, they know how to have fun, man. They got some great bars, and great, you know, have a good time and hanging out and all that. So, man, I tell you, it's Friday night. I know everybody's out there trying to get their ribs and their chicken and stuff ready. A lot of people are telling them to trim at home. That way, when you get to the contest, you know, you won't have to do it at the contest. Make things easier for you. And I tell you, if you trim at home, it takes a lot of the work out of it because you don't have to sit there and do it at the contest. And, anyway, you can save time where, you know, you can concentrate more on your cook. Yes, you have to do it, man, because it's a lot of work any way you go. And whoever can get the steps right and, you know, pay attention to detail the best and be freed up to take care of it, I mean, that's the person that's going to win. And, of course, it's all seasoning and flavoring, time and temperature. Pretty much everybody's got it together, and there's always variables in your cook, you know. This week, cookie did this, that, next week. Unless you got one of them good gravity flows, they don't vary very much. Or a most of the pellet cookers. Of course, you know, atmospheric conditions always count just a little bit. But, you know, if you got an offset, you know, then you got a lot more in variables involved. Now, working on my tailgating pages, I'm trying to add a lot of information to my tailgating pages. So it could be more like a travel guide and a forum finder. Now, just like, you know, there's probably 30 forums in barbecue, there are probably between 1 and 10 forums for every Division I college football team. Did you know that? And you know, they get pretty heated on their forums. Now, you know, granted, one thing about it, they really don't have any say in what the teams are doing with any you know, these teams, so, you know, getting real heated about it doesn't seem like that would be very smart, but they do. And but it's also a lot of fun. You can find out where, you know, the events are, the pep rallies and all that stuff that they're going to have for the team will all be on there. And you know, when it comes to college football, there's always a guesstimate of which teams are going to be the best, but there's always a few surprises every year, just like the NCAA March Madness. You know, you never really know who's going to come out and really kick that ass, be good, and all that stuff. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, a lot of the, but, you know, there's a lot of information involved, you know, and I've been finding all these stadiums, and you got Dome Stadium that only holds 16,000 in Idaho, and you got the mega stadium up there in Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, that 107,000, and then Ohio State is 102,000. Then you go down to Alabama's 102, and LSU's 100,000. That's a lot of people watching a game. And so they got the mega stadiums. Now, Dallas Cowboys Stadium only holds 80,000. But, of course, those tickets are probably three times as high as any college football game. The thing about the Dallas Cowboys Stadium is it has a mega television screen, four-screen television that they can lower and raise from the roof. And, of course, it is a closed stadium, so they can open it up or they can close it. But a massive roof that slides from one side to the other. Man, you know, you think about the massive undertaking these big stadiums are, but then how many there are of them. You know, there are 124 Division I football, college football teams. Well, there's a Division II and a Division III. And, of course, there's a 32 NFL teams. And, you know, wow. I mean, then you got high school stadiums, which high school stadiums outnumber all the stadiums together because, you know, every community has got a high school stadium. Now, granted, you know, they don't hold 100,000. Some of them's pretty big, though. Artesia, New Mexico, clearly looks like a college stadium. And then Dorman High School down here in Spartanburg looks like a college stadium. So these high school stadiums have got the big television screen at the end of them, just like, you know, William Bryce and these different big college stadiums. So, you know, there's 1,000 stadiums in the United States. Man, that's a lot. I mean, you know, our country's not as old as Europe. But within the walls of the United States, there will be more buildings and more stadiums and stuff as time goes on, because they're taking the old stadiums and making them bigger, or else they're moving and building a new one and leaving the old one for someone else. So, you know, somewhere down the future, we are going to be loaded down with being able to do sporting events. And yeah, you know, I got ideas about that, but I want to make a big old shout-out to the Georgia boys, man. Georgia boys are cool as hell, and I hope they're doing good today. And shoot, we might have to play them a little song. I know they're cooking it up. They got them fires rolling. They got them. They're probably out there. They done got their butts and their brisket ready to put on. I know that's right. And hell yeah. I know what song we need tonight. It's something I haven't played in a while, but here we go.
But it was all that I could do to keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain, but you don't. Never even call me by my name. You don't have to call me Waylon Jennings, and you don't have to call me Charlie Price, and you don't have call me Merle Haggard anymore. Even though you're on my fighting side, and I'll hang around as long as you will let me, and I never minded standing in the rain. Name a few times in your phone book, and I've seen it on signs where I play, but the only time I know I'll hear David Allen call is when Jesus has his fire. Well, a friend of mine named Steve Goodman wrote that song, and he told me it was the perfect country and western song. I wrote him back a letter, and I told him it was not the perfect country and western song, because he hadn't said anything at all about mama, or trains, or trucks, or prison, or getting drunk. Well, he sat down and wrote another verse to the song, and he sent it to me, and after reading it, I realized that my friend had written the perfect country and western song, and I felt obliged to include it on this album. The last verse goes like this here. Well, I was drunk,
day my mom got out of prison. And I went to pick her up in the rain. But before I could get to the station in the pickup truck, she got run over by a damned old train.
Everybody's out there ready to rock and roll. Got them cookers fired up. We're past the cookers meeting. It's in the evening. It's done cooled off. All you cookers are out there hanging around talking shit tonight. I know you are. And I hope you're having a good time. Tonight is what barbecue competition is all about. And we're glad you're out there hanging out, cooking out, having a good time. And, you know, it doesn't matter who wins tomorrow. Well, hell yeah, it does matter who wins tomorrow, too. Man, this train's just pulling out, man. We worried about who's going to win tomorrow. And I tell you, most of y'all out there done got good enough cooking that ain't going to be much difference in your cooking. I mean, it's going to be a little bit, but there's going to be some difference in your taste, you know. The whole thing about it is you got to figure out what the best rub is. You know, you ain't got to just use your own. Buy some. Now, we've been using Plowboys on some of our stuff, on the videos and stuff. I got to tell them old boys from Plowboys, hell yeah, you got some good stuff right there. And I tell you, somebody else got some good stuff. That's Cimarron Doc. Now, Cimarron Doc is a fantastic base rub. You know, I'll tell you, instead of putting it on layers in your cook, what about mixing it in the same jar? You know, get your Cimarron Doc comes in a big old jar. Now, one thing about Cimarron Doc, it does not cake up. Cimarron Doc is going to be good and flow and just move around in that bottle. Not going to cake up on you. But, you know, you don't want to put one that cakes up. High sugar content rubs a lot of times cake up. And nothing I hate worse than the high sugar rub content kit. And you get it in there, and it's in the plastic thing. You got to shut it and just beat it around, try to knock the big old lumps out of it. And but you know, your better rubs, they don't do that. And Cimarron Doc's a good one. And I got to give Cosmo Q and Butcher their due. Cosmo Q and Butcher's got some fantastic rubs. You know, they're two different companies. Their stuff doesn't taste the same on the rubs. I tell you, their rubs are something out of this world. And, you know, Cosmo Q, Butcher, Plowboy, Cimarron Doc. Them are four rubs that you cannot, four companies that you cannot go wrong with. Now, Cosmo has got a brisket rub that is out of this world. And it looks like salt and pepper, but it's smoked salt. It's some fantastic stuff. And, you know, it's funny how the best rubs always float to the top eventually. And I would be remiss without saying Smoking Guns. Smoking Guns has done an outstanding job on their rubs. And, you know, get your little smoking guns rub. Now, homebbq.com, he's fought a lot of teams. He's won a lot of comps. Homebbq.com has got some fantastic rubs. And, folks, I'm trying to give you the top names in the world right now and play, help you out on the cook. If there's some that I'm all set that you haven't ever heard before, you know, I want to give you an opportunity to Google it, try to find it. But then Oak Ridge Rubs are coming out big in competition now. They have really formulated some great brisket, Boston butt, and rib rubs. And Oak Ridge Rubs is one you need to check on. I tell you now, to me, those red rubs are always going to end up bright red. You know, Cimarron Dock has got the right color to it as far as I'm concerned. Because it doesn't matter what you put a Cimarron Dock on, Boston butt, brisket, ribs, chicken. When it comes out of that cooker, it's going to have what judges expect to be that perfect caramelized color. So, you know, always do a base of Cimarron Dock because you've always got that base of red color, and then put whatever flavor you want to on top of that to get your flavor. So use Cimarron Dock for your color. I mean, I tell you what now, he's got a plain website, but he's got a hell of a powerful rub in Cimarron Dock. But, you know, I got to put the Mac Daddy on top now. There's a big old fellow down there in Florida named Jimmy Brode, and he sponsored and works for a company called Everglades Seasoning. Now, folks, I know a lot of y'all out there, when I put Everglades Seasoning as number one in the world, look around and say, who the hell is he? And, you know, some of you are like, well, I mean, Cloud Boys and Smoking Guns and Cimarron Dot, no. They've got to definitely be above Everglades Seasoning. And you would think that's true. But Jimmy Bro pulls that great big old trailer down there. And he gets out there in Cimarron, I mean, those Everglades seasoning bottles. He's going to kick your ass. And he took Reserve Brand at the Jack Daniels. You know, he pulls down there in the FDA. He decides he's going to win it. I got news for you. You're going to get at them Everglades bottles, you're going to wear your ass out. Now, Everglades season is found in Sam's, Philo's, Winn-Dixie, just about Food Lion, Publix, Ingles, just about every grocery store in the Southeast, but they spread way up toward the Northwest or West, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. Now, let me tell you a little story about Everglades season. Went down to the FDA Triple Crown 2 years ago. And the main man from Everglades Seasoning, Jimmy Bo, was there. And they got these great big old crawdads and shrimp out. Now, folks, what I'm talking about big, they had shrimp that looked like about 8-9 inches long. And they put that Everglades Seasoning on those shrimp. And they deep fried it. They pulled them shrimp out. I ate the whole damn thing. Legs. The legs was better than the shrimp part. Them crawdads was so damn good. Hey, Jimmy Bro, hell yeah. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I got done eating them crawdads and them shrimp he had over there that day. And then I went on, I checked out, you know, where what stores it was in, but where it was selling. And hell, it's in every major selling supply store damn near across the country. But the biggest thing was, you know, on that Saturday around 6 o'clock, FBA Triple Crown, Jimmy Bro, Everglades. He just about swept the whole damn thing. Was an invitation lane open. And I tell you, Everglades Seasoning. Now, wrap everything up, roll them up, get all these scissors that you got, you know, all these rugs, put them up against their blade, and they're just going to inch them out just by a little bit. And, you know, I hate it for you. You know, I ain't trying to be mean, but when it comes to Everglades season, until I'm proven wrong, really wrong, I'm going to have to give Everglades season a hell yeah.
We went down to the FBA, and there was Everglades season with crawfish and filet. I ate a little taste, my eyes got wide. They won the Triple Crown Lakeland, four of these guys could fly. Everglades season is number one in the world, ranked by barbecue superstars, and they keep winning everything. You better get you some of this Everglades seasoning. Yee-haw!
Why, hell yeah. Now, I want to make a big shout-out to the Shed tonight, the Shed Barbecue Blues Joint. Holy shit. You know, I love Brad Orson. You know, you can't help but love Brad Orson. You know, I know some of y'all out there probably jealous, you know. Brad stays on television. He always got a television gig going. We was at the National Barbecue Association, and we did a presentation on the Shed. Man, he's been on about 20 or 25 television networks. Now, he has been on a consistent show like Myron Mixon. Myron Mixon had Barbecue Pitmasters. But he's been on a lot of different channels. I mean, Travel, CNN. I don't know where all he's been. But, you know, in his journey in barbecue, he started off a seafood restaurant and then some other kind of restaurant, and changed over to barbecue. And, you know, barbecue and blues and beer is his life. Now, the basic essence of barbecue, four people doing the best they can, cooking a whole hog on Saturday night, trying to have a hell of a party with what little money they got, with a barbecue centerpiece, might have some bread to make a sandwich, or got them a great big old plate, and poor man's music. Now, what is poor man's music? Poor man's music was poor people with an old guitar trying to make a jig out of something. And that's the blues. You know, there wasn't any poor people in the people who played the blues. That's really where the roots of it came out of Mississippi. You know what's funny? From the holler of the poor people. In rock and roll and jazz. You know, everybody trying to mimic. They got to change it. Make it theirs, you know. It can't be just the blues. It's got to be a little something else to it. So it's theirs. But the blues is where it's all come from. And it's like a man up in Chicago said, the blues had a baby, and they call it rock and roll. And, you know, Brad, if you look at his restaurant, the heart and soul of it is poor people doing the best they can. Dirt floors with rocks. You've got doors they obviously took out of the school they tore down and made a table out of. And seats out of cars. You know, everything they do is what America is all about. There are poor people doing the best they can. And I'm going to tell you something. I hope they make $500 million. Because you know what Brad did? He did the same thing I did. Now, I'll tell you a story and be honest with you. I bought an old beat-up drugstore in South Carolina. And I went to the bank. I told him I need to work on the building. Anyway, he loaned me $20,000 so I could work on the building. And the bank man said, Mister, I can't help you, please. You need to get on out of here and get out of these. That's the same thing they told poor old Brad. You know what Brad said? Well, I got a 300-square-foot building. We're going to sell some barbecue. He made some shed roofs. He made a shed. And I'm going to tell you something. Dunn won the damn Memphis and May World Championship. Been on television. Holy shit. Brad Orson now busted the whole world right, wide open, man. You know, you can't say anything about that, man. He totally kicked ass. We got to play this song for Brad.
Some of them that went in there and stayed 40 years.
Now, those were some damn perfect people for the job. And then you had Casey Kasem, you know, for radio DJ back in his days. You know, he was the Ryan Seacrest of earlier days. We saw how people make fun of the way he talks, but he's, you know, he was a perfect person for his job. And, you know, I tell you, most of us do a job because we have to do a job, not because we're the perfect person to do the job. And you know what? If you didn't start the business, you're probably not going to be a perfect person for many of the jobs, because you didn't start it. That wasn't your goal in life to run it. But you can manage to go in there and do the job. And so you know what? Man, if you're one of them little jackass assholes who wants to get everybody fired, barbecue superstar, I'm telling you, look, you want good karma? Leave your neighbor alone. Do your job. Cook you some barbecue, drink you some beer, get your little Jack Daniels on the weekend. And you know, folks, let's be straight about it. I mean, if 90% of the assholes in the world that cause trouble for other people, well, get them a good-sized cooker, get them some Boston buds, get them some ribs and some brisket. Now, they need to get more ribs, you know. If you buy a Boston butt, cook a Boston butt, say an 8, 7, 8, 9 pound Boston butt. See, now that's enough barbecue to slow their ass down. You know, you go down and you buy one rack of ribs and you go out and cook it on the grill for a Friday night meal, that ain't going to slow your ass down. You're going to eat that and you're going to keep right on doing your jittery, stupid bullshit. But now, folks, you go on down to Costco. Now, Costco, now I'll say one thing about Costco, and I got to throw this in there. I became a Costco member, and I went down there. And, man, their meat is such high quality. I said, okay, your basic hamburger is $2.89 a pound. He said, yeah. I said, well, what's the fat content ratio? 87.13. I said, hold on a minute. It's $2.89 a pound, and again, your fat content is 87.13. Holy shit. I said, well, what's your highest quality? He said, well, we've got a 92.8. That's $4 a pound. I said, well, what's your lowest quality? He said, it's $2.89 a pound. Good God, look at that stuff. And it looked like ribeye steak that had been chopped up. I mean, that was the best hamburger I've seen in a long, long time. And they got some fantastic pork. You know, if you're doing competition barbecue, you might ought to go over and check at Costco about your butts and your ribs, because it looks like whoever's supplying them is sending their number one restaurant stuff to Costco instead of sending their retail seconds to Sam's. And I really like Costco. I like the attitude. I like the way they do business. Costco is one hell of a wholesale location. You know, they're in a lot of movies now. I've noticed that they don't want to advertise, but it looks like they're getting put in a lot of movies. So I think that's because they must be paying money. The Watch, you know, was based on Ben Stiller being a Costco manager. And let's take a minute out right here and pour us a drink. Now, one thing about you know, really good pork. When we was at National Barbecue Association, Tom Park Duroc does not mess around. They say straight up that they breed for genetic superiority. Tom Park Duroc, I mean, they literally are, you know, doing anything they can genetically to make superior pork. And so I got to give them credit. And I noticed that the shed had a big Tom Park Duroc, so I guess their hogs were Compar Duroc that beat Melissa Cookson. You know, I was really shocked. Melissa Cookson hasn't been beat whole hog in a while in Memphis today. And that was really quite a feat. And we love you, Melissa. And I'm sure you'll be back next year. You know, Michael Jordan had Patrick Ewing and Karl Malone on his ass. And Melissa Cookson might have the shed on her ass now. But you had been beating everybody pretty good. I know Ten Bones Barbecue was on your ass pretty good, too, for a few years. But you'll I'm sure you'll tweak it somehow. Next thing you know, you'll be out there and you'll be in first place again. That's the right one. All right, if you got a favorite Division One football team or a favorite NFL team, go to Barbecue Superstars. Check out our page. There might be a form or something that you didn't know about. And at
the end of the day, you are a quarterback. You signed up to throw the football.
I think you signed up to win games and compete and go out there and try to lead a team, however you can do that, no matter if that's throwing, if that's running, or whatever it is.
Well, Tim Tebow, you know what I can't figure out is he went in there and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers with the Denver Broncos. And, you know, it kind of pisses me off a little bit because he won the national championship twice. He won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, the guy is a total kick-ass winner. Now, a lot of the players said that they really like Tim Tebow because he's a winner. And why Rex Ryan? Rex Ryan is a stupid, completely dumb jackass. I mean, I think Rex Ryan needs to be fired. And, you know, given his rightful position, a defensive line coach, Rex Ryan was never an offensive coordinator. He was never any big. He was just a defensive coordinator. That's all he's ever won. He's really a defensive line coach. I think it's pretty much bore him out that that's all he is. Because, I mean, he's been a terrible coach to the New York Jets. But why he went in there and done that to Tim Tebow, you know, I'll never understand it. I think Tim Tebow deserves a chance on one of the worst teams in the NFL. I don't know why Jacksonville didn't give him a chance because I promise you they'll never get as far with the quarterback they have as they could have with Tim Tebow. But go out and check out our tailgating pages on Barbecue Superstars. And, well, get out there and cook you some great big old barbecue and try to win. I tell you, presentation in your box is really important. You know, there's a whole lot of people out there that won contests that had really a subpar cook, but the presentation was so doggone good that when they got it, they gave them high scores anyway. And I tell you, that's really what it's really all about. We're going to end it off with a little Hell Yeah song. Man, go out and get you a good six-pack and sit back and drink your little beer tonight and try to get your mind off the hard week you had and hope you have a good weekend. And, of course, LeBron James and the Miami Heat will be playing the Indiana Pacers on Saturday. And they're saying that, you know, Miami's going to close them out. But I wouldn't be too sure. You got this guy named Roy Hibbert in the middle that they think we just don't have an answer for. So we'll see what happens. But Barbecue Superstars love barbecue. We love every one of you. We hope everybody has a great night, and we are out.
I'm on
minute. Hold the phone. I believe we got Spider J in the chat room. Spider, you want to call in and talk just a little bit? I wasn't going to go ahead and sign off, but I was hoping you'd show up tonight, man. I wanted to see what the hell you're doing over there. And call in right quick, man. Let's talk just a little bit. Let's talk a little barbecue superstars, beer night out. And by the way, I am thinking about going back to that name, Beer Night Out on Barbecue Superstars, man. I mean, that's what it's all about right there. Somebody said he knows the number. I'll tell you who I wanted to get on here tonight. And, man, there he is. ThePartyTrailer.com. God covers, man. I ain't talked to him in a while. I wish I could talk to Guy. What's going on, Kelly?
Guy, you speak up.
Hey, Spider, what's going on, man?
What's the hype, Super D?
What's going on with it?
Just a day in the life, I'm imagining. It's, 5 o'clock out here on the West Coast. Looking at about 68 degrees, sunny sky. And the course was nice today. I mean, you know, my air may not have managed to get 9 holes in real quick, like, but, you know. Keep Friday fun. I must have been why I just missed you. Well, I saw that you were posted earlier, and then I got distracted, and then I said, oh, 5 o'clock. Friday night
well,
out.
That stuff's happened. That happens sometimes. And, where'd you go golfing? Was it a big course or just a small course? Or?
It's a little par three. It's our own, kind of our own private course.
Oh, really?
Will. Yeah, I posted it a couple times on the Meet Rec page. We have, like, a huge green that's kind of shaped like a U, and we have 3 holes on it that are probably 100 feet apart. There's a red flag, a yellow flag, and a blue flag. And then we have 6 different tee boxes that we tee off from. So we'll go out to hole one, about 95 yards. And you hit 3 balls. You hit 1 ball at red, 1 ball at yellow, and 1 ball at blue. And so it's on 5 acres. And so then, you know, the hole 2 is a little bit over, a little bit further back, and it's 130 yards. And so we got 6 tee boxes, so you can make one lap to play 18 holes.
Wow. Who came up with this, man?
My friend Kenny from Northwest Custom Kirby.
That's cool as hell.
We've had it for shit. It's been there 10, 15 years. It's gotten better. You know, it's got, you know, irrigation. We got sand traps. We got the pro mower. You know, you got to have a badass green mower, you know, that cuts it in a quarter. You know, it's a true deal. And we have a roller where this guy came up with all this golf equipment. He used to be a distributor. So we got all this stuff. He's got this roller that you ride on. It's kind of like a speeder bike from Star Wars. But it'll roll it, and then it packs it down. So it might be kind of slow. We roll it, boom, and just boom, right up to Masters.
Damn.
It's dope. All,
now, we might have to hold up our glass and take a big old drink of that. I believe what Spider Jay's talking about right there is a big old hell yeah. Let's take this drink right there.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Man, I've been...
What we need to do is have a big old Salmon Creek barbecue extravaganza with barbecue superstars. It's on 5 acres in the grass. We could have that in the middle of July, August. It could be... barbecue on the golf course.
Well, now, how hot does it get in those months?
Oh, it works. You know, Pacific Northwest is where it's at. 85.
Oh, shit,
90.
Really?
Yeah, a couple times. You'll get into some stretches, you know, in August. Sometimes we'll go up to 101 for 2 days or 3 days, and then, you know, say, ah, it's hot. But generally, we're hovering 88 is the average.
God,
it ain't that hot. It ain't that hot. It's a nice, clean, dry.
Oh, good, because that's the next question. I mean, is it so humid you're actually out there cooking, or it ain't too bad?
It's not humid at all. It's lovely. Plenty of rivers and streams around. The stuff I posted, the picture. Look at that picture in chat.
Okay, up on your Facebook page?
No, in chat. I posted a link in the chat room.
Oh, in the chat room. Okay, let's see. Oh, I see it.
Oh, yeah, I see the three flags. You see it? With the dude raking the sand traps.
Now, y'all been selling some meat raises somewhere around here. He's in there. Oh, Lord. What?
Do you pull it up, Dale?
Well, I'm trying. Let's see. Well, actually, what I'm doing, my computer's thinking about it. Let me give it a second. Yeah. That little circle's going around and around and around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That computer
thinks
almost as fast as you do.
Yeah, there you go. Who's that ranking?
That's my buddy Len Dog. Almost every week, every Wednesday, we golf at here at Meat Rake headquarters. We take off early on Wednesday. But Len Dog, he's a trap master. He does a little Zen thing. We get some feng shui going. He always does a great job. Yeah, we got the three flags. And if you look out in the distance, see that bench out there on the straightaway, see the fairway?
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, so that's hole one. And if you look to the left, you'll see another fairway. And see that tower down there?
Yeah,
that's
to the right.
That's hole two. That's about 130 yards, and the guy stands up in the tower so he can see the green, so he can tell you where the ball is. And then you can see hole three is right over the guy in the yellows that's raking out there. See, there's a couple of logs out there. It's raised up on a deck. That's hole three. That's about 110 yards. So that's like half of it.
Okay. Holy shit, dude. Now that building up there, is that where you make meat rakes?
Yeah, that's the meat rake factory headquarters.
Wow, man.
No, wait. That might be the hangar. That's where we keep the jet.
Oh, y'all.
That's where we keep the jet. The landing strip's out there behind the trees. You can't see it. But
now,
we keep the jet and the helicopter in there, you know, so if we need to get somewhere to a competition or a meeting real quick, you know, if it's within 100 or, you know, 150 miles, I'm about to just take the helicopter. But if it's a little further, if we got to get to Kansas City or something, you know, we'll take the jet.
Yeah, you know, somebody I really miss, and I'm going to say this publicly on the radio, but, you know, for whatever, man, I miss old Rod Lorick, man. He was a lot of damn fun, wasn't he?
Yeah, old Hot Rod.
Hey, everybody, it's
old Hot
Rod TV, and today, I wonder what old Rod's doing, man.
Oh, Hot Rod, he's still plugging along. He's still doing his thing. I see his Facebook post every now and again. He's still doing charity events and golf outings and whatnot. I think I saw him doing not too long ago.
Well, we're good.
Yeah, you guys are good.
I went back and looked at True Barbecue the other day, and True Barbecue is down there in West Columbia. There's a bunch of great guys down there, and He puts salt and pepper on his barbecue. He don't put no herbs and seasonings on or nothing, but he lets the smoke do the work. But boy, I tell you, he makes some great plates down in there. And that's where I met Rod at. And I'll never forget, we was down in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay one, which was the second year. And Guy Cummins and Rod was out there. And we had us a hell of a time at the Mandalay Bay doing Barbecue Superstars and Hot Rod TV. And shoot, I miss him, man. I hope he's doing good. And hope everything's going well for him and everything. But
That was a good time.
That Las Vegas event with in conjunction with the ACM Awards, that was really fun.
Yeah, that was a sweet gig all around with the competition and what was that, Smoke on the Water production? Little shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys did a good gig.
Did you compete or you were vending? You had a thing set up to do the movie.
We were just slinging rakes, bringing meat rakes to the world, spreading the meat rake movement.
He had your little thing out there with some sand in it.
Dude, that was season opener. That was company opener. The first time we went to the National Barbecue Association convention 3 years ago. And I was like, what the H? Is that dude raking rice? I never seen nobody rake no rice. Rice raker?
I've seen some people who made some rice that was so caked up, you got me to meat rake and get it straightened out with 50.
We could target the Asian joints and the Japanese and Thai. It would be a rice rake. Don't be afraid.
I tell you who makes a good rice. That's BK Barbecue. And he's got this thing where he'll put chicken broth in it and butter. And he'll make yellow rice, and you want to talk about good? And I think every team in the FBA is trying to perfect it now, trying to cook with some yellow rice like BK Barbecue. And man, now I got to ask you, man, what went into making those meat rakes? I mean, how long did y'all have to work on that thing?
It probably took a year to get it to where we were ready to have them made. You know, my father, he invented it. But he was bitching about pulling pork with his hands or using one of the other tools on the market. And my dad said, shit, I'd come up with something. Should make like a rake. And so he went into the shop and made the first one out of two pieces of Teflon and some welding wire that was about the diameter of the tines now. And so we tested the distance apart and how long they were, and guy would make some pork butts and they'd break some meat, and we, you know, a couple of, you know, R&D, and then we got to where we could. And my dad knows some people in the manufacturing business, so where he 3D modeled it, and they were able to make a mold. And you know, we did the, you know, non-slip grip, and you know, wanted it to be useful and comfortable, ergonomic, but we wanted it to be a competitive tool on the market. We really wanted the weight to be down and the cost, you know, we wanted it to be good, but we wanted to keep the cost down. And then we took it to some guys in the factory near my father, and they made the first proto, and we're like, boom, meat rake's born. So that took about a year or so.
What trips me out about them, I still got the pair you gave me, is those, you know, the rake part where the pieces come down. I don't know what you call the prongs.
Yes, the daggone prongs.
They are so daggone strong. You know, you look at them and you think, man, I never really thought of them as a wire because they're so strong, but, you know, they're really the size of about a
nail. It's like a 16-penny nail.
Yeah. And shoot, you get some big meat, and if it ain't really done right, them meat rakes will still, and they won't bend. And What in the world are they, dang? What do they call them? Tetron?
304. The 304 standards, what they call them. And they're sharp as hell.
Yeah, man. That's the other thing is, you don't want to drop it on your foot with a barefoot because it'll stick in your knee. That's the. It's kind of
no
a little
raking meat
in
your thong.
Yeah.
No raking meat in your thong. Well, you can wear your thong, and that's how you roll, but you need to have covered toes.
I think the other thing about it that makes them so effective is they got weight to them. It's not like you've got a piece of plastic down there trying to rake meat with. There's a substantial piece of it like, helps build inertia or momentum. It's just like you got enough mass to go against the weight of the meat where you go jerking on it, that thing's going to pull through there and rip it out, man.
You can rake as hard as you want. You know, we've had some big boys. Chad from Whiskey Bat, he's not the slimmest gym on the barbecue circuit. He's like,
that's a big old muscular...
he rakes me, and I haven't had one broken. One guy broke it. You know how I broke it? He accidentally stepped on it.
Yeah.
In 3 years, that's the only thing that I've hurt. One's not broken or worn out. Because when you have to sell a lot, but you don't have a lot of return customers unless they're buying them for their buddies, which happens a lot too. But, I've had them. I talked to a guy at the conference this year in Mobile. That was in February. He had had his for like a year and a half, and he is on the same pair. I said, "How many pounds of pork do you think he raked?" And he's like, "Oh my lord!" And literally thousands and thousands of pounds of pork he's raked. Skosh more expensive than some of the other products on the market. But they work amazing. They last, right now, I think, forever. they run $20. And some people will stop at, I'm not going to pay. Well, you pay $15 in a minute, but $20, that's a bag of briquettes and a six-pack of beer. How long is that going to last you?
at least an hour.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to get the full 12 pack, if you got your buddy coming over, a bag of charcoal, two steaks, and a six pack of beer, that's $20. That'll get you through the evening.
Yeah that's right.
You can rake meat for years. Hey, Shark Tank called me back.
Well, they did?
Did you ever watch Shark Tank?
Yeah, the big thing is Port Barrel Barbecue's been on there.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I emailed them a couple months ago, but they called me today. They're interested. Now I got to make a 5-minute video.
Oh, you do?
You got to fill out this questionnaire and make a 5-minute video and submit it. And if it's good enough, then I can go to the next step.
Well, once you need to put on the video, it's like some Coors Light and some Budweiser and maybe a big old bottle of Jack Daniels, and mix you up some, and then get over here and get your big old Boston bud and say, "Hey, we're going to raise some meat. Hold on just a minute." And then take you a big old drink. Okay, now we're ready.
Hell yeah. I think the second thing was do not have anything with logos, copyright infringement that you're not. I was going to film it in my kitchen. They got to cover up. They got to blur out the Gen Air refrigerator and the GE stove. So I think I just got to have meat. I could try to put some barbecue superstars in there somewhere. You know what I'll do? I should send the jet for you, and you can come out and film it. Or I can come to you. I can gas up the jet. We can film my 5-minute video.
Well, Rod Lorig always parked his helicopter in the backyard when we was doing a radio show. And, you know, if you bring a helicopter, of course, it's cross-country. You really need to bring a jet because it's a long ways. But, yeah, bring it on, man. Stop down there at Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport and drop it off. And I'll come out by there, and then we'll do us a live feed direct in the Shark Tank. And we'll be like, excuse me, hell yeah. We got this little meat rake going right here. And by the way, fuck your shark and your tank. Go ahead and put this man on. Oh, I want to bring something up to you, man. Now, we want to talk about this for a minute, and I'm glad you're on the air. Man, they have found real mermaids. Have you seen that?
Did you take that? Didn't I post that last show? Do y'all see the mermaids? I thought, you want to talk about the itis? I watched the whole show, and I recorded it the other night because I was telling somebody about it. They're like, Wilco, what?
I believe it's true, man. There are mermaids.
My 15-year-old son is calling farce.
He said it's hard to
breathe. He said, no way. Well, you know that the video where the two dudes are standing on the cliff and they see the one on the rock down below?
I mean, what are you going to say about that?
That was fake, only you could tell because the way the dude acts. He's like, oh, my gosh, did you see that? What is that?
I'll tell you why it's not staged.
Terrible act.
You know what? Go ahead.
That one was fake. That was only because of the dude was acting. If they would have just filmed it and then filmed it without the dude, or, you know, like, guy was by himself. But I think the dude killed it with his terrible acting. Did you watch the second episode where at the very end they show the one swims up to the submarine that's down there at 2,000 feet?
Explain that to me. Explain that.
That one?
Yeah.
Well, you see it. The dude that worked for NOAA, the National Oceanic Association of Animals or whatever, he worked, and they had, you know, been working on this thing for 6 years, and then their biggest thing is the sonar. They think the Navy is doing these massive sonar tests for either defense or whatnot, and then that's when you see these whales getting beached. The whales get beached because they run these massive sonar tests, and it F's up the whales. And so they even said when they were testing, they went to South Africa, there's a big whale beaching, and they saw all these whales, and every one of the whales' eardrums were bleeding. So they had recorded one of the major blasts and one of the major sonar blasts. And then when they were recording it, they heard a noise that was different than any whale sound, blah, blah, blah. And so when they went to South Africa, that was in Washington. And then when they got there to look at the whales, they had a portion of the beach quarantined off, and there was, like, Navy guys in hazmat suits, and they couldn't go near that place, so they didn't know what was found there. Then they went to South Africa, and there was a mermaid corpse. They've had it. They dissected it. They took all the DNA samples, and they had all the stuff. And when they were getting ready to leave to come back to the U.S., the South African police went in, stormed the place, and took everything they had.
And they got the real footage where they did it.
And so then that one dude, he quit. He couldn't handle it. And then the other guy, they were down in that submarine off of Greenland, 2,000 feet down, and you see all the fish go swimming by, and then the mermaid comes up and puts its hand right on the thing, right on the glass, pushes the submarine, and swims away.
Yep. Well, I'm saying unequivocally, without a doubt, totally and completely, there are mermaids on our planet. There are schools of mermaids. that are good at hiding themselves.
You heard it here live on Barbecue Superstars.
You're dang all right. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the reason I believe that there really are mermaids. And it's the same thing with Bigfoot. Every civilization throughout time has made references and drawn drawings of mermaids for all history at all time. And every deep seaman that has went out to sea, they all come back and talk about they saw mermaids.
Yep, they have the writings on the cave walls from, you know, 1,000 years ago. They have this guy off Nova Scotia. Hey, there's another video where they brought one up in the net. I'm not sure about that one. I think that one might be fake.
Oh, it's, it's real.
And it kicks it out, you know. And
even if they are fake,
it's just, I'm wondering what the rationalization would be. And maybe just to change how we think we were, you know, because they thought we come from apes, you know, but they call them the sea apes, you know, or, you know, we came, must have came from the water because this whole place was water.
Right. Well, you know, the other thing is that Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus had one, and the whole problem is the head, the features, and everything that was in the picture of the Ringling Bailey from 1865 is exactly like they 3D modeled in the pictures we've got of the other ones. Now, you know,
165 years later.
Yeah.
150
years later. You know, at some point, now, you know, I'll put this out there, and I want everybody to think about this. They make movies, and I've really been looking for it and realizing it. They make disinformation movies. You know, if they want to discredit that there are aliens, or just like, you know, I tell you the big disinformation movie is right now. They made a movie about, that was supposed to be based on a true thing, where they were in the house and the pot started rattling over top of the counter, and the daughter and the wife kept seeing stuff. The wife wouldn't tell the husband, but the daughter told him. It drew her outside and shut the door on the daughter, and she was locked out all night. And then the mother was upstairs, and it drug her down the hallway and drug her down the steps. And then at the end, come to find out, it was coming from the sister, who I don't know what, got possessed by a demon or was in witchcraft or something. She came in and killed both of them, and they had a video of it. Well, then now they've made a disinformation movie where they got these the weigh-ins and a couple people who were out there making a big joke about it. You know, oh, boy, you know, this and that, and it never happened and all this stuff. But, you know, that movie's based on real events, and I don't know why they don't want us to believe in, you know, anything that's out of the ordinary like mermaids or, you know, some of the other stuff. But, you know, so slickly they make movies that are disinformation that make us all say, oh, it was just a bunch of shit. Just like the X-Files. Right in front of your face, all this shit happened. You're sitting there like, well, hell, it was an alien, this and that. You got the full explanation. But then you have the Modine guy or whatever his name is come back and say, oh, that shit really didn't happen. You know, at some point, I think the American people have to start believing their eyes a little bit. You know, not everything that you just fucking saw didn't happen. It happened. You just seen it, you know. And I tell you,
well,
to me,
technology is so crazy. Go ahead.
You know, to me, just the last thing is, they had the oil drilling rig that was like 2,000 feet under the water, and there's a fish with one of the mermaid spears in it. And then those geologists who decided to carry cameras because of the previous, you know, airing of this, the body found, they put out mermaid sounds. And, you know, it works. If you put out deer sounds, you look around, deers are common. Them rich people, them real country people,
Hell,
do the duck calls, and damn boy, they show up and they got a video of it. And I don't know how they fit in. I believe I'm a Christian, so hey, instead of going to land on Adam and Eve, I think it had to be before the flood. People went to the water. And I tell you one thing in the Bible that points to that is Cain killed Abel, and Cain was thrown out. He was thrown out by himself. And he went out and found a city, and he found a wife. There was other people out there. So there's other, God created other people other than just Adam and Eve later. I don't know if it was later. I don't know how it worked. Of course, they lived 1,000 years, so it could have been some more of their children had children. But, man, I believe it, man. I mean, wouldn't it be crazy if Daryl's
on?
I could actually go find it. Go ahead.
Daryl's on. To see my kid, I don't know, he's such a skeptical. Just with technology today, it's so easy to reproduce things that look amazing. But all of their factual things that they talk about and what they've seen and the recordings, these are people that, and they got a mic in the water and they're out there and there's 4 different whales swimming along. They can say, that's the humpback whale. They know. They've studied them for so long, they know what they're talking about. So they hear different recordings. And some of those, I think, aren't real. And then some of the one with the Coast Guard in the UK, you
mm-hmm.
saw that one where the guys
yeah.
are doing a test thing. And, boom, that was like, whoa, that one.
One thing about that one is I don't think they were trying to make up anything because they hid it. They weren't even – I don't think the Coast Guard guys who were out there practicing doing saving techniques, they weren't expecting none of that shit.
No.
that was like,
no mermaid.
What the hell?
And it makes awesome sense that they travel with the whales. They're friends with the whales. They're like, they're probably the ones that with the whales. It's like, no, you guys are going the wrong way. That's how the whales know how to migrate all the time because they're swimming with the mermaid people.
Mm-hmm.
And how about the Aborigines or whatever who call the dolphins in once a year and the dolphins round up all the fish so the people can net them?
Something I don't understand is like in America.
Holy crap! The new meat rate stickers are in.
We rely on technology to do everything, but then you go out and you see these Aborigines and these people who live out in the jungles, and naturally they do stuff. We look around, and scratch our heads, and say, "Did you see that?"
I mean, no shit.
How did they ever hook up with the dolphins? I mean. Hey.
Yeah. Well, somebody must have taught them that they can swim around. With the...
mm-hmm.
I'll go 90% with you on that. I'm going to leave some. Yeah, why that? Sounds legit.
Well, I'm 100% because if it hadn't have been for those generalized sonar tests, see, one thing about sonar, it's spread over a huge, large area, and it don't discriminate on who it affects. And because you have such a generalized weapon, the effects are massively generalized. And so if there's something down there we don't know about, lo and behold, here it comes. And they found some whales we never knew about, and tell you what else.
And that was one of my justifications was why would they make up the mermaid solely to get them to stop doing the sonar test because they know that the sonar tests kill the whales. They know they're doing these tests. The Navy denies it. But is the Navy doing the test to find stuff or is the Navy doing the test, I imagine, for defense so they can send out a huge sonar blast that'll go 1,000 miles and come back to them, and they say, "All right, we got subs, you know, submarines here, there, and
fucking
there.
Miles."
You know, because the water, you know, you can hear stuff a long ways away. So I'm wondering if these guys' main gig was to stop them doing the sonars because they're killing the whales, but then the mermaids, you know, would they make up the mermaid thing just to bring light to the whole sonar testing? You know, was that, you know, that was my only thing, because some of them are fake. You know, would they bring up a whole, but they couldn't have, because 1,000 years ago, there's pictures of mermaids on the cave. And the dude had a mermaid in a tank that looks exactly like the one there. Or did they take that description from Barnum and Bailey and feed it into? How about the cell phone video? I don't know. It's not real.
Well,
the cell phone video where it's on the beach.
I'll tell you, the whole thing is, you know, it's like, what's her name? Whoopi Goldberg said. By the way, you know, I love Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, she's cool as hell, man. She said, because of YouTube, WeTube, BayTube, and MeTube, she said, you can't get away with shit these days. And there are millions and millions of cell phone cameras, cell phone movie cameras, and all kinds of video type equipment and cameras and cell phones. That now everything, every incident, every event, everybody becomes a camera operator. And, you know, them two boys didn't have a clue what was on that beach. They just kept walking up there, and the one kid got a stick, and he's like, "Hey, it looks like a hand. What the hell is that?" You know, and he started messing with that thing's hand, and just boom, it raised up and, but I tell you what the problem is with the conspiracy.
I don't know.
Theory.
That was like 5 or 6 years ago. You see that phone? It was like a little flip phone. I don't even know if they had video back then.
Oh, yeah, they did. But you know what? If you watch the video on YouTube, it ain't that good. It's kind of like
I was going to say, because it looks really good on TV when they showed it. Like,
they
looking at the hand, looking at the kid, looking at that, wow, just like Scream 5.
Mm-hmm. And, I don't know.
I know we didn't come from bacon.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm pretty sure we didn't come from bacon.
I worked third shift in the pharmacy for 93 days straight. And they had a radio on one. It was not mine. And it was on some kind of certain talk show radio. I never turned it on. It was just on. And, you know, there's talk show radios at night that talk about, you know, our real NASA programs in Seattle, and they got spaceships going out of space every day on a daily basis, and all that NASA stuff just for us to look at. And they said there was going to be a space elevator, which I thought was crazy. And on the front page of the New York Times, there is a space elevator. It costs $10,000 to send a pound of material into outer space. And you can do it anytime you want. And I was like, what the hell? I can't believe that. And that's really true. It's put together by nanomachines, and it's like a ribbon that the elevator goes up on.
Hey, so they're sweet, like a zip line? You can zip line to the moon?
Yeah. But no, it's just zip line into outer space. It's like all the way through our atmosphere. And so, you know, you can send it up to outer space, and then a ship or whatever vehicle can pick it up and take it where you want it to go. So they are setting up an intergalactic system, but then we find out, you know, and this thing about Bigfoot, I don't know exactly what kind of animal it is. Now, I've seen some pictures on YouTube where they've got a monkey that walks upright that could possibly be it. It's not exactly the 8-foot, 9-foot creature they're talking about, but, you know, throughout history, the Indians had a word for it. What do they call it? Sasquatch. You know,
Sasquatch.
I mean, but the Chinese and the Eskimos and everybody had a word for it. So there is some form of a Bigfoot out there, and they're slick. I don't know how the hell, I don't know what, you know, why we can't.
Yeah,
find
I live
them
in Bigfoot country. Some of those videos are shot within 100 miles of here.
I think the U.S. military, with their technology, they know about all this stuff. Why they don't want to reveal it to us, I think the main thing is because of Christianity being so strong and keeping our country at least in the middle of the road. My son went to Europe. He went to Italy 2 months ago. And he said it was the roughest place he's ever been as far as people attitude toward each other. And, you know, that's another thing, you know, I could throw something on is, you know, things are getting worse here. But I think it's because the world is getting so rough in general. I mean, in Europe, essentially, I guess they've conceded they're nothing but animals. You know, when there's no soul spirit, there's no Christianity to it. And boy, you know, when you go from a Christian model where, you know, there is right and wrong and there is a way of living, to the animal model where, hey, just anything goes, do whatever you want, then it becomes a beat the hell out of the person next to you situation, or anybody who could dominate through whatever means they need possible. And my son went over there. He's going to spend a whole month. He stayed there about 10 days and came back. And I was like, why did you come back? And he said, well, I stayed in a hostel and it was totally nasty. And the people were meeting hell. People, you know, was really treating each other bad. He got down in Italy in the amongst of the general population, the everyday people, and the buildings are old as hell and it's dirty. And he said that they treat each other real rough. And, you know, people could say whatever they want about being a Christian and trying to follow Jesus and Christian values, but I'm going to tell you something. Where God is not, it's a hell of a time. And at least if you believe in Christian values, there's not a reason to pull a gun out and blow your neighbor's head off, because you're not going to – this isn't all God. There's something afterward for us to work for. And so that mentality keeps it where we can live civil to each other. And, boy, in Italy, I mean, them guys in Europe in general, they totally went – so I think, overall, what I'm trying to say, Chris, is I think there's a lot of things that we don't know that were included in our history. And I think because of YouTube and cell phones and the all-seeing eye that's being developed now, we're starting to find those things. And it shakes everything we thought. But it's no different, Christopher Columbus and the world being flat. We're just finding out, hey, there's a few more animals out there we didn't know. And the only thing about mermaids is, and I think you've seen this, I want to see what you think about it, is that mermaids are human and went to the water. And I just wonder what you thought about that.
I believe. You know, like you say, it contradicts the whole notion that we came out of the water, right, and turned into apes. And then isn't that theory of evolution?
You know, think about that. We had to come out, become an ape, and then go back.
Well, we're probably always in the water. That was, you know, two different. One person went out of the water, one, and then the mermaid stayed in the water. They're like, F you, go ahead. It sucks up there. They're going to make cars and pollution, and there'll be terrorists and bombs and a bunch assholes, tweakers. It's going to suck. We're just going to chill down here in the water with the whales and the dolphins and the pretty fish. It's nice down here.
You know, the key point
in
the show was,
we're going to stand it as long as we can make it until you guys pollute so much. But you know, they go both ways. You know? And I think, you know, the Navy goes with that stupid term, ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
But
I ain't gonna freak out because they're mermaids. I mean, I ain't gonna freak out. Hell,
yeah.
You know,
I don't stop going to Safeway. Well, I not really. I only stop there when I have to on the way home because it's the closest one. But generally, I'll go to the Winco. But you know, it's not gonna rock me to the core.
Mm-hmm.
There's mermaids.
No, I mean, there's just details we don't understand yet. Go ahead.
They're afraid people start hunting mermaids. If you're trying to, they're out there in the deadliest catch, the crabbers or those guys on Wicked Tuna. I don't know what to say. If a mermaid is shorter than, 48 inches, you're going to have to throw it back.
Well, I noticed there wasn't any mermaids wearing bikinis or, looking that good or anything. So I think we can throw all that back. The one who was beached that was still alive.
They hang out with the whales and the dolphins. That's why the whales and the dolphins are so smart, because the mermaids taught them the language and how to be more human. Probably why you can train a dolphin so well, because the mermaids taught them how to learn.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. I wish some enterprising guy like Jacques Cousteau, but, somebody else that's like him would go out and
The dude from Virgin Mobile. That guy is the one who's already got a plane that goes to space. I think he would jump right on the mermaid.
Yeah, man, go out and find a colony and hang out with her for a week, There's only one thing about it now. I got to say this, by God, we're going to have to cook them some barbecue, and them mermaids, they're going to come up here and eat some, too. Hey,
yeah,
them mermaids
they gotta
probably
be
like
tired.
The fish shrimp.
They got to be tired of shrimp and fish. Oh, you have to try some of the bacon we got out here.
Hey, we get to cooking up some of them Boston Buster and mermaids. They love to throw some feet walk up out of there.
Check out these ribs, little sister. What's your name, by the way?
Irish.
Hey, girl, get side of slaw with a pork rib. I'm sure we could learn thank you and mermaid in no time fast. Like, me, you want? A piece of cake. Go get my diving left. Join the diving. There's a diving shop right down the street.
Well, it's 2013. It's time for some of this other shit to start coming out, start figuring out. And I tell you what's funny about it. There's so many damn cameras nowadays that they can't hide the shit anymore, And I tell you, a video tells a thousand words. Huh?
Those were good. Thank God for those videos for that Boston bombing crew. I was pleased.
Mm-hmm.
All that shit, boom, boom, boom. Took 1 week. Those bitches were in jail.
Yeah.
One of them was shot, and the other one was in jail. 1 week. He bombed us. I was like, wow. That's a swift ass kicking.
What's the matter with them people, man? I mean, people on Boston Marathon ain't got a damn thing to do with nothing. I don't understand.
I
why
know
they want
somebody
to do
that
people.
Was, yeah. Friend of mine from here was a three quarters of a mile away from that.
Damn.
But, yeah. We don't like mean people. Mean people suck. They should make a bumper sticker. Oh, they already did.
Yeah, everybody just needs
to leave everybody alone. What's Daryl doing this week? Why are you on location? Huh? You take a week off? Why are you down there in Tupelo or Manassas or Wildomar?
Well, I wanted to work on my tailgate page pages. I'm trying to get all 175 of them with a lot more information, a lot of stuff on them. I'm trying to work on my website a little more.
That's what we got. Two Oregon teams in the they're playing into the baseball college world series. We're down in Corvallis from regional. We'll see. I don't know if people do a lot of tailgating for baseball, but we got two Oregon teams that'll be in the college world series here in another week or two. Just
they're getting ready to go back to Omaha, aren't they?
Yeah, we got to play the regionals this weekend. Now, this weekend is when you play into Omaha. So
okay,
there's something going on in North Carolina, and they're having a tournament in Corvallis, which is an hour and a half south of here. The Oregon Beavers, mm-hmm. who have won two national titles, and I believe back-to-back World Series championships a couple of years back.
Mm.
And one of my buddies, Stan Spencer, pitched the Stanford Cardinals to their last College World Series. So that was like 15 or 20 years ago. But he's cool.
I would like to send one soundbite out. You know, if you got video of mermaids,
If you
know someone who's got videos of mermaids and you have not released them to the public yet, my email is bbqsuperstars@gmail.com. And if you'll send it to me, I'll put it up on YouTube and I will not divulge your name if you want to be anonymous.
And, what are you talking about? When you hear about the dude that was offering $1 million, what's that, in Djibouti or something?
Well,
the
mayor
of that country.
If you're a 25-year-old mermaid with measurements of 42,
are you
23.
I'm looking for a mermaid that's 25 to 40. With little to no hair, long tail, sexy scales.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that was the big thing Sailor said, is, you know, we're like a beautiful woman or whatever. It's funny how all them tails, all them, you know, big tail getting started and all that stuff. And I'll tell you, that sure is crazy. I tell you, if it wasn't true, that was a high-powered announcer. He's a regular big-time news guy, John Franel. John Franel.
I wasn't
name
sure.
Of that. Huh?
I wasn't sure if he was a big-time. Yeah, I mean, if it would have been Brian Williams, but, you know, I would have been locked in.
Mm-hmm. You know, news anchors like that got to be careful, because if they lend their name to something that ain't true, they'll never be able to get another gig. And, so
like,
was
if it
would have
been Geraldo doing that, you know,
Geraldo's a freak. I mean,
but, you know,
Geraldo brought
that guy. Right, Barbara Walters, if Barbara Walters is doing that interview, I'm all in.
Yeah, now Barbara Walters was, but mainstream media anchor people like that, I mean, she's bought and paid for corporate. You know, she only speaks what corporate people pay her to speak, so she would never lend her name to that because it might shake some of her corporate sponsorships. So I could see where Barbara Walters would never be. She don't need it. I mean, she's on The View. You know, she's on, and she's got this credibility, you know, except for in her book where she said she had the big affair with the black guy.
Can't confirm nor deny any of those accusations.
You know, why risk the millions? You know, if you're getting paid by corporate people to say what they want you to say, then why not go ahead and, you know, why risk it? But this guy here,
that's on the
stuff.
Discovery Channel, though. They're like, they got to be one of the biggest cable, you know, dish discoveries. I mean, Discovery's been around not quite as long as MTV, but, you know, Discovery's pretty big.
Yeah, they build a hell of a, I mean, they got True TV, Destination Channel, Discovery Channel. I don't know.
Yeah.
They probably got 20 different channels to their name.
Yeah. The National Geographic, I don't know if they're, you know, assimilated,
mm-hmm.
but those are some of the biggest, you know, cable,
mm-hmm.
you know, nature shows out there.
No,
I can't believe you went on a mermaid tangent for a half hour. Hell yeah!
Well, I guess we're going to get off there. As always, Chris, man, I love you, man. Hell yeah, Washington State. What's going on up there? We appreciate you coming on tonight. And, man, we need to get the old Beer Night Out crowd back. Man, y'all come on back. Now, we need my man from Oregon, Pig Liquors. Got the barbecue oil. Now, I gave another way. I gave a bottle away again this weekend, barbecue oil, to a man who owns a bunch of nursing homes. And so hopefully he's going to get some orders out of that. He really liked that barbecue oil. He loved it. And make a shout out to him.
I think
and,
he got rid of his Pig Liquor truck. Now he has Confusion. He's got a Confusion barbecue truck where he does like a Thai, Mexican, Asian Confusion. He's making all kinds of crazy tacos and barbecue shit. He's the one, his mother is the one that just made my meat rake stickers that are here, but like the mailman put them in my garage.
Wow.
Like I just looked down and saw my box of meat rake stickers just showed up. I'm like, hell yeah. So look, do KUN Fusion is his new truck. Confusion Barbecue, Confusion Food Truck. Yeah, Pig Liquor's cool.
Well,
yeah, he's, you know, do whatever the hell he wants.
Hey, go ahead, man. I'm confused too. Well, we're going to sign off. And Chris, hell yeah, have a good week. And I think I'm going to end it off with a little Red Solo Cup. You know, I tried to end it off with the other song, but we came back. So here we go. Red Solo Cup, raise your glasses up. And a hell yeah.
Hell yeah, I love you, Dad.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kissed my ass.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now, I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Cause when beer runs down in front of my back, well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now I've seen you in blue and I've seen you in yellow, but only you, Red, will do for this fella. Cause you are the Abbott into my Costello, and you are the fruit to my loom. Red Solo Cup, you're more than just plastic. You're more than amazing, you're more than fantastic. And believe me that I'm not the least bit sarcastic when I look at you and say, Red Solo Cup, you're not just a cup.
No. God, no.
You're my friend.
Friend. Lifelong.
Thank you for being my friend.
Red Solo Cup.